The Holy Gospel according to John. Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Dear friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Good and gracious God, let us remember that your word is not for the tickling of ears, but for the transformation of lives. Amen. So I like to sometimes categorize my sermons, and this one's called a fill-in-the-blank sermon. So when you go see me go like this, you're going to throw out an answer. All right? So in this really quick, in the reading you just heard, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Good. Now we're going to practice a couple more. Because when I think of bread, I can't think about, help think of like Quiznos and Subway and like my favorite sandwiches. So just to get your mind thinking about bread and what you put on it, are you a ham or turkey? Or both. You can say both or neither, because I'm a neither. What about onions or pickles? Pickles, definitely. Ugh, onions. Ugh. Can't do onions. What about white or wheat? Wheat. Oh, I think that was unanimous. What about, one more. What about Spam or bologna? When I grew up, I'm from North Carolina. In fact, I'm going to help my mom move into my sister's house. I'm leaving tonight. And when I was a kid growing up in the South, my mom would say, in fact, we don't even call her mom. We call her Meemaw. Anybody heard that term before? So my Meemaw would say, "Heather, would you like an egg salad or a pimento cheese sandwich?" Oh, all right. Somebody knows what I'm getting at. Because, yuck, nobody under the age of like 50 ate pimento, right? So I was always like, I guess an egg salad. And she'd put it in my lunchbox, and I'd take it to school, and it's like, P-U, right? The other one I grew up on is she'd say, "Heather," and I'd say, "Yes, Meemaw." And she would say, "Do you want salt or pepper on your tomato sandwich?" Anybody else eat tomato sandwiches? See, not a hand. Oh, there we go, one way in the back. Yeah, and I'd be like, both? Does that sound yummy, Jasper, tomato sandwich? Sorta. Well, I guess I would say the other thing that I grew up in the South that gets me thinking about home and sandwiches is that you could go into your local Piggly Wiggly or 7-Eleven and you could pick up a sandwich and there would be these big dishes too, like big bowls with lids, jars with lids, and you could either pick out a big pickle or pickled pig's feet. So, good job, South. Anyway, I just opened your mind to a little bit to think about sandwiches. So, because I can't help to think about bread, since Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In fact, in John 6, this text is like a sandwich itself. It starts in chapter 6 with the feeding of the 5,000, the story we just read with the kids during story time. The middle of it is walking on water. It's the story from last week. And then Jesus on the other side of the lake is the story you just heard. Jesus, we always want that bread. Where Jesus says, I am the bread of. And it's just amazing that it's at the bottom, the foundation piece. Because think of what that bottom bread of the sandwich does. It literally soaks up everything. It's what holds the sandwich together. Without the bottom piece, it's not a sandwich. Well, there's three things I want to share about that statement. I am the bread of life. First is the reference to the Old Testament with the Israelites in Egypt. I am in Greek is ego ami, and I love to just say that because it reminds me of let go my ego. And ego is who you are as a person. I am, in this case, is God. If you remember the story of Moses and the burning bush, when God calls to Moses and says, hey, come over here. I'm going to send you to tell Pharaoh. You're going to go all the way to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people. Good job. And Moses says, who are you, first of all? And me, you're going to send me? And who should I say sends me? And God says his name. I am who I am. When Jesus says, I am, he's referring to that he is God, the one who sends him. Well, the next part is bread. I am bread. And this is the reference right out of the story where the people say, hey, when our ancestors, the Israelites, were in the wilderness after they left Egypt from Pharaoh's hand and they were hungry and they were whining. They're whining. Here you go. Good job, Meta. They were whining in the wilderness, and God heard their cries once more, and that they went to bed, and when they woke up, they found this manna substance. It was a type of bread, I guess, is what we say, like cornflakes, maybe. Manna means what is it? They didn't know what else to call it, but that's what fed them and sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness, that and dead quail. And some water for 40 years. For 40 years. That's a long time. So they're not going to forget that manna, that bread from heaven, it's called. And Jesus now says, I am that bread. I am the bread that has come down from heaven. I am the bread of. Now, there are 7 I am statements in the book of John, and it starts with this one. I am the bread of life. You know that one. The next one is, I am the light of the world. And then you get things like, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate for the sheep. All right. I am the true vine. Now, get this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the. 3 times Jesus tells the people, I am life. When things repeat in the Bible, we pay attention to them. Wherever you go, I don't know about you if you've ever lived any other place in the world, but wherever you go, there is bread. It might not look like our loaves. I lived in France, and every time you had a meal, they put a baguette on the table. They don't slice it. You just pull it apart. You're there to wipe your plate clean of spaghetti sauce or whatever sauce you have, and they have the best sauces in France. I've lived in places like Zimbabwe, where their bread is made out of cassava root. It sits like a pit in your stomach. It's so thick and heavy. I think of naan bread and dal soaking up or injera bread in Ethiopia, which they take the bread and they literally grab their food and eat it. There is bread throughout the world. It connects us in our lives. I mean, here's something for you. Without bread on a veggie sandwich, what would you have? A salad. Bread holds things together. It's what we can soak up. I mean, gosh, we have biscuits and gravy. I mean, without gravy, biscuits are just dry. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So I had to think about, what does the bread of life look like in 2022? Or recently, maybe back to the 90s. And I think of three little stories. One is my friend. She would be a staunch atheist. She went to school with me at Lenore Ryan College in Hickory, North Carolina. And she was living in New York City. She walked by a small little church nestled in some, I don't even know, New York's so big, maybe Brooklyn area. And she saw on the sign, it said 10 a.m. service. The doors were open. It was a beautiful day, no air conditioning in the building. And so she heard when she walked past, not preaching, not hymns, not an organ or a piano. She heard laughter. And she looked at the sign. She looked at her watch. And she was like, what? That's not church. So she went inside. And gathered around their big altar were maybe 10 or 12 people of the church. And they were all different size and colors and ages. And they were laughing and making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on the altar, along with Holy Communion. It was their service Sunday. They came, they gathered, they made sandwiches. They partaked in communion, and then they were sent out two by two to hand out the sandwiches. She heard the words for the first time, bread given for you, a sandwich given for others. She's gone to church ever since. The other one is when I lived in Madagascar. There are lots of what we call orphan children who live on the streets. They don't have parents. So they run around on the streets. They beg. And even in my city where we lived on the Indian Ocean, in the June, July, and August, it would be cold in the evenings. So if you went out at night, you would have to, like, look underneath your car, see if your hood was still warm, because children would slide under the cars to sleep because they were so cold. And one little boy, I called him Bread Boy. I don't know remember his name. But I would go to this little grocery store in my city, and I would come out, and the children would run up because they were hungry. They're looking, they're begging. And I would always buy bread. And in Madagascar, they have baguette. And this little boy, I'd give him a baguette. He was maybe Jasper's age, like 9 or 10. Is that what you are? 9 or 10, something like that. And he would have all these little teeny kids, maybe 4 and 5 year olds, that would run up. Everybody else who took their baguette was already halfway through it. But he would take from the top, and he'd give a little piece to each person who was there. And when the nub was left, he would eat it. So I saw this happen a couple times, and I thought, okay, I'm going to give him more. I'm going to give him 2 baguettes. Well, you know what happened? More little kids started coming to him, and he would pick off the top, and he'd give them away, and he would have the same amount each week. So the next week, I decided I would give him 3 baguettes. Well, the other kids started catching on, and they were running over him and taking more of his bread. So I said, why don't you come to my house, and I'll give you more bread and some rice to take home. You see, he knew what it was like to soak up the bread of life. His tummy was hungry, just like in that book I read. but he knew to give away the bread of life. It's amazing when you have nothing, how you find a way to give something. The words given for you, given for others. This isn't the only story where we meet Jesus with bread. I have a feeling Jesus loved to eat. I think that was probably the best thing about becoming human for him. And being with the people was eating. It's not the only bread story, though, because we know in the Last Supper, we hear the words, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." So that's what I leave you with today. Maybe you're hungry. Maybe you'll go home and make your favorite sandwich. Maybe you'll come forward and hear the words given for you in a new way. However this story lands on you, I just hope you remember this, that Jesus said, "I am the bread of..." Amen.